Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words from my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. A very good morning to all of you. Please be seated. Friends, let me begin with a question this morning. Is Christianity a way to life or a way of life? Well, I hope your answer is C. It is both a way to that blessed life in Christ and also a way of life for all of us who are followers of Christ. And this is what Paul writes about in his letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 1 to 3, Paul talks about the way to that blessed life in Christ, which is very inspiring, which is very exciting. And then in chapter 4 to 6, Paul focuses on the way of that blessed life, which is very instructive and perhaps less exciting, less appealing because it requires us to relook at the way we live our lives as followers of Christ. But it is important because Christianity is both a way to life and a way of life. In fact, our passage today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24, Paul tells us that Christianity is a new way of life. But interestingly, Paul does so by first talking about the old way of life. In verse 17, Paul says to the Ephesian Christians with great solemnity, he says this to them, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't live like a Gentile anymore. Or today we might say, don't live like the world anymore. Paul is referring to the Gentiles in Ephesus who were once completely alienated from God and who continue to live like that because of their ignorance, because of the hardness of their hearts. And this is also what the Gentile Christians in Ephesus were once like in their old way of life that was without God. And Paul is warning them, the Gentile Christians in Ephesus, don't ever go back to that old way of life that is without God. And why this solemn warning? I believe from our passage today, there are two reasons that we can look into. Firstly, it is because of the huge temptation to revert to the old way of life, especially for the Gentile Christians in Ephesus who have been brought up in a society where, you know, corruption and immorality were deemed as the social norms in that city. Now, John MacArthur commented on this in his commentary saying, Ephesus was the leading commercial and cultural city of the Roman Empire. It boasted the great pagan temple of Artemis, but it was also a leading city in debauchery and sexual immorality. Now, some historians rank it as the most lascivious city of Asia Minor. The temple of Artemis was the center of much of the wickedness. And Artemis herself was a sex goddess. She was served by thousands of temple prostitutes, eunuchs, singers, dancers, and priests and priestesses. And then it says the 5th century BC Greek philosopher Heraclitus, himself a pagan, referred to Ephesus as the darkness of vileness. And the morals were lower than animals, and the inhabitants of Ephesus were fit only to be drowned. And there is no reason to believe that the situation has changed much by Paul's day. If anything, it may have been worse. That was Ephesus in those days. And MacArthur continued to say this about the Gentile Christians. The church at Ephesus was a small island of despised people in a giant cesspool of wickedness. Most of the believers had themselves once been a part of that paganism. They frequently passed by places where they once caroused and ran into friends with whom they once indulged in debauchery. They faced continual temptations to revert to the old ways, and the Apostle Paul therefore admonished them to resist. You know, my friends, this great temptation to revert to the old way of life is very real, not only to the Gentile Christians in Ephesus, but also very real to us today. While we may not find ourselves in a very dark cultural environment like in Ephesus, but we are surrounded by tons of temptations that are constantly luring us to revert to that old way of life that is without God, without God's lordship over us. To that old way of life where we do whatever we want to fulfill our own agenda and to satisfy our own desire, where the only one whom we seek to please is ourselves. And this struggle for us to resist this temptation is also very real. As Paul has mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." The old way opposes the new way. The old way seeks to pull us away from the new way. Now, even Paul faced this struggle himself. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15 and 19, Paul shared this, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Friends, if we think about the week that has passed, how often have we found ourselves torn between the old way of life and the new? How much of our actions, speech, thoughts, and our desire this week actually reflect that new way in Christ? And how much of it reflect our old life that is without God, or that disregarded His lordship over our lives? Friends, I hope we will begin to see how our passage today and this warning in verse 17 is very relevant. It is very important for all of us here today, as it was to the Gentile Christians in Ephesus. And if any one of you find yourself not facing any struggle at all between the old way of life and the new way of life, it could mean that you have reached the highest possible level of spiritual maturity and holiness, and I would love to meet you. Or perhaps you have been thinking that Christianity has nothing to do with the way you live your life each day. You may have the impression that after saying the sinner's prayer, life goes on as usual. You can continue in your old way of life. Now, if that's what you are thinking, then it's important to hear what Paul goes on to say in verse 17. And this is also the second reason why Paul has given this warning. Verse 17, Paul says, "You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." What this means is that the old way of life that is without God, without God's lordship, will lead to only one futile and tragic end. Whatever that you may be thinking of pursuing or accomplishing or having in your life, no matter how brilliant or even noble those ideas and plans may seem, and no matter how much you have eventually achieved or attained through your own plans, through your own ideas without God, if God is not in the picture at all, then all of that will ultimately become futile. At the end of the day, it will be pointless, meaningless, worthless in the end. Because without God, all of our pursuits and plans in life will fail to produce anything that is of lasting, satisfaction, or eternal value. In fact, they might even fail to produce anything that is of real satisfaction or value. That is why in verse 19, look at those who remain in their old way of life without God. What have they become? Careless. They have lost all sense and conscience of sin. And they have also given up themselves to sensuality. They no longer have any moral restraint. What they have was just this insatiable desire for pleasure. And they have also become greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They desire for more. They covet, but it is always not enough. Now, at which point do you think someone may become this person described here in verse 19? Definitely not at birth. Not even when he or she might succumb to temptations and fall into sin. But it is when the person goes round and round and round in that futile search for real and lasting satisfaction and significance which cannot be found without God. And you know, this vanity of life that is without God has been experienced by the wisest king in history named Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, King Solomon gave a record of all of his great pursuits and achievements. But look with me at his conclusion in verse 11. Verse 11, King Solomon said, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now, friends, this vanity of life without God has also been acknowledged in the field of psychology. Carl Jung, one of the pioneers of modern depth psychology and psychoanalysis, said this: "Those psychiatrists who are not superficial have come to the conclusion that the vast neurotic misery of the world could be termed a neurosis of emptiness. Men cut themselves off from the root of their being, from God, and then life turns empty, inane, meaningless, without purpose. So when God goes, the goal of our lives goes as well. When the goal of our lives goes, meaning goes. When meaning goes, value goes, and the life turns dead on our hands." Now, this is also the testimony, the experience of this Singaporean named Dr. Richard Teo. Some of you may have heard of him before. He was a very successful aesthetic doctor in Singapore. He became a millionaire by the age of 30. But sadly, 10 years ago, he died at the age of 40 due to cancer. However, this misfortune has led him to turn back to Christ and to find his true source of contentment and hope. Now, in his testimony, he said this: "Since young, I am a typical product of today's society. I was told by the media and people around me that happiness is about success, and that success is about being wealthy. And when I start to accumulate, the more I have, the more I want. The more I wanted, the more obsessed I became. And all I care was basically to get more possessions, to reach the pinnacle of what society did to us, of what society wants us to be. I became so obsessed that nothing else really mattered to me." Now, Richard also said this: "I've been a Christian for 20 years, but it was because it was fashionable to be a Christian then. I went to church for a while. After some time, I got tired. I said, it's time to go to NUS, stop going to church. I had a lot more things to pursue in NUS, such as girls, studies, sports, etc. After all, I had achieved all these things without God today. So who needs God? I myself can achieve anything I want." Now, my friends, doesn't this sound like a person who is walking like the world without God, which Paul has spoken about in our passage today. That vanity of life that is without God. And in the end, the discovery of his illness has opened Richard's eyes to recognize the vanity of his life that is without God. And Richard said this, "The irony is that all these things that I have, the success, the trophies, my cars, my house and all, I thought they brought me happiness. But I was feeling really down, having severe depression. Having all these thoughts of my possessions, they brought me no joy. But true joy I discovered comes from knowing God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God personally. Getting a relationship with God. I think that's the most important." Richard's eyes was open to see that life without God was a vanity. My friends, do we need to wait till we are struck by a critical illness or crisis to realize how the way of the world, this old way of life that is without God, despite all our achievements and possessions, will only lead us to that futile and tragic end at the end of the day? I hope not. I hope that our passage today will wake us up to pay attention not only to the warning in verse 17, but also to the good news concerning that new way of life for those who learned Christ. And that was what Paul says in verse 20. Now this phrase, learned Christ, in verse 20 may sound unusual. In fact, it has been noted in a commentary that the construction of the word learned with a direct object of a person, Christ, is without precedent in the Greek language before this occasion. But thankfully, Paul elaborated on this unusual phrase in verses 21 to 24. Paul tells us that learning Christ has to do with hearing about Christ and being taught in Christ. But not only that, Paul also says that learning Christ is also about putting off our old self and putting on our new self. So learning Christ is not just about receiving new information, but it is also about receiving a new life that is shaped by Christ and his perfect ways and not by the futile ways of this world. It is a new way of life where you are no longer walking as alienated from God, but as beloved sons and daughters of God. It is a new life where you are no longer heading towards that futile and tragic end, but you are heading towards the glorious inheritance from your Heavenly Father and Creator. And my friends, the best thing about this is that you do not need to earn this new way of life, because it has already been given to those who acknowledge and put their trust in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And I say this because, you know, in verses 22 and 24, both the putting off and the putting on, they are in the past infinitive tense. In other words, these are actions. The putting off and putting on, these are actions that have already been completed. When you acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Savior, your old self has been taken off. Christ has already set you free from the slavery of deceitful desires. And Christ also put on you the new self. Christ sets you on your way towards righteousness, towards holiness, and towards lasting satisfaction and significance when you put your trust in Jesus. That new life has been given to you. And this new life, new way of life, that God has so graciously given to us in Christ, friends, this is the good news. And I just want to say that this good news is not only for Christians, but also for anyone who may be listening to this right now and is not yet a Christian. You know, friends, For those of you who might not be a Christian, you may have been searching for that real and lasting happiness or satisfaction or significance in life. But what you have found so far perhaps has been temporal, or your search so far has been futile. It is like what the earlier part of our Bible passage today has shown us. But you know, God has also created you in His image, and the one who sees you as His precious creation, just like how He sees everyone else, God wants you to have this new life, this gift of new life as well, that will lead you not to futility, but to the fullness of life. So will you consider receiving this gift of new life from God today? And if your answer is yes, I want to encourage you to tell it to the friend who is a Christian and who may be able to either help you grow in your understanding of this new way of life in Christ or connect you with a pastor or leader in church. Don't miss this opportunity of receiving this new way of life from God, your Heavenly Father, that will lead you to fullness of life. Friends, the late David Paulson once gave this illustration in his exposition on this passage. He said this: the reason why some Christians don't enjoy God as they should and don't find the Christian life as wonderful as it can be is precisely because they are trying to walk two ways, and you can't. It's the difference between seeing someone or some people going to the swimming pool and dive straight in it and come out gasping with the shock of the cold water and saying, "It's wonderful, come on in." And compared to somebody who is miserably climbing down the steps a toe at a time until they reach the plimsoll line, and then they stand there just shivering and wondering whether to go further. They look miserable. So until you decide to leave the past behind and plunge right into Christianity, you just can't enjoy this new life that Christ has so wonderfully given to us. My friends, are you trying to walk two ways today? Will you heed Paul's warning today and resolve to say no more to the old and futile way of life and yes to the new way of life in Christ? If that is what you desire to do, would you tell it to God? And I believe God is more than willing and able to lead you step by step on this new way of life until you reach to the very end. And I hope you will also share your response with a brother or sister in Christ so that there is support, there is accountability as you commit yourself to walk in this new way of life from this day forward. And perhaps for some of us, we may be thinking this is the umpteenth time that we have resolved to stop walking in that old way of life, but we keep reverting back for some reason. You know, we could not stop walking, or should I say, we can stop walking. No, we can stop walking the old ways many times, but without feeling the void in us, we can easily end up just returning to the old ways of life. Therefore, Paul also gave us this very beautiful advice in verse 23. He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your minds." You know, earlier I've mentioned how verses 22 and 24, the putting off and the putting on, are in the past infinitive. It has been done, it is completed. However, verse 23, this is in the present infinitive. This means a continuous action, a daily filling of the mind or the inner being with all the wonderful truths of who God is and who we are in Christ. And this is why it is so needful for us to set aside time each day to go to God, to go to His Word for that renewal of our inner being. Especially when we are living in a world today where we are constantly bombarded by all kinds of deceits and temptations daily. Our minds can so easily be filled with the things of this world daily. The futile things of this world can so automatically fill the void in us. So unless we make it a point each day to fill this void with something else, to fill this void with the things of God, with all the truth concerning this new and wonderful way of life that we already have in Christ, unless we do that, we may find ourselves reverting to that old way of life, which will only lead us to futility. My friends, will we make the decision today to say, yes, Lord, lead me in this path of that new way of life that you have so wonderfully given to us. And help me to be faithful in this new way until I reach the goal of seeing you face to face. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning to all of us. And we thank you for setting us free from the slavery of sin, from the slavery of our old life, and giving us this new life in Christ where we can walk towards righteousness and holiness and towards the eternal life that you have prepared for us. We thank you that you have made this possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have also given to us your very Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to lead us in this path of that new way of life. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you once more this morning. In our struggle between the old and the new way of life, Lord, please help us. Please remind us of how futile it is to live a life that is without you. And please help us, Lord, to find that assurance in you, knowing that you are with us, walking with us each day through your Spirit in this new way of life that you have given to us. So we commit ourselves to you. Enable us, Lord, to respond to your message this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.